The following podcast is from Tabernacle Baptist Church in Cartersville, Georgia. Thanks for listening.
We've turned our hearts and minds to the Christmas story, and in verse 19 of Luke chapter 2, Luke said, after telling about all the things that happened with the Christmas story, but Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. Treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. I want to speak briefly on the subject of making the Christmas story make a difference in your life. Making the Christmas story make a difference in your life. This past Wednesday, two nights ago, the boys and I went with Joe Karp, one of our church members, up to Knoxville, Tennessee. He invited us to go to a basketball game a couple of months ago. We didn't know when he invited us that the game would end up being a top 25 matchup. Arizona was ranked number 6. And so our first time going to a basketball game up there, and we saw Tennessee win, for all of you Tennessee fans. And for you Tennessee fans, you'd be happy to know that Joe Karp bought both of the boys a Tennessee sweatshirt. So watch out if you see them wearing that. All right? They both got some orange. But we had a good time. Joe and I, on the ride up there and the ride back, spent a lot of time swapping stories, like men do sometimes, right? Guys, any of you like to just tell stories with a buddy? Any of those stories ever get a little bit out of control sometimes? Maybe a little bit of exaggeration? No, you never do that, right? So sometimes, guys, telling stories, it may not be that impactful, may not make much of a difference. We know men swapping stories sometimes, how that can go. In Scripture here, we have a story, not just any story, we have the Christmas story, the story of Christ's birth. The Bible teaches us in Galatians chapter 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. So this story is a story upon which all of human history hinges. Such an important story. We know this, right? We know that this story is one that brings us salvation, good news, that although we are all imperfect people, sinners, God's Son came and lived a perfect life for us. He never did any sin. He was 100% God, 100% man, and He lived for us. Not only did He live for us, He died for us. Wherein our sin, our imperfection deserves spiritual death and eternal death, eternal separation from God, Jesus endured sin and death on our behalf, so that if we will believe in Him as the Son of God, we will be forgiven of our sins, cleansed of our sins, made as righteous as Jesus Himself, and given the hope that when our bodies physically die, we don't have to experience eternal spiritual death and separation from God. Because of what Emmanuel, Jesus, did, we have hope of abundant life here on earth and eternal life one day in heaven. So we know this story, right? And we rightfully celebrate it. The problem is that many times we're like ancient Israel of old in the Old Testament. We become forgetful. You know, it's easy to focus on the Christmas story tonight, right? I mean, you've got all these great songs, Christmas carols, 'tis the season. But when we get back to January 3rd and January 4th and the busyness of life sets in, it's easy to forget the Christmas message. When we get back to real life and the holiday season is over and we encounter struggles, we encounter sickness, we encounter sin, we encounter difficult people and problems, it's during those times that we most need the Christmas story. So we as believers need to be equipped to make the Christmas story make a difference in our lives. How can we do that? I believe Mary here sets an example for us. The Bible speaks of her doing something here that every believer needs to learn to do. The Bible uses two verbs, two action words we see in the life of Mary that provide an example for us. First, Luke speaks of the way in which she was treasuring all these things in her heart. What things? Well, all of the things about Jesus being born, the angels, the announcements, the visitors, the divine revelation. You see, Mary knew that these things were the fulfillment of Hebrew prophecies from hundreds of years in advance. She was aware of Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 53. She was aware of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, perhaps. She knew the tradition. There would be one who would come from the nation of Israel who would bring redemption and release for all of God's people. So as she saw angelic proclamations, as she received divine revelation, as she received visitors from afar, as she gave birth to one who came from the Holy Spirit, she treasured up all these things in her heart. Now, we all have a physical heart within our chest. The Bible here doesn't speak of that physical matter. Instead, it speaks of an immaterial part of the human nature, the heart. This is the soul-like capacity, the immaterial part of the human being. This is that part of the human constitution that makes humanity different from the animal kingdom. It is with the heart or the soul that we relate to God. So in her soul, in her heart, Mary is treasuring up all of these things. Interestingly, the word treasure up here is one that was used in the first century of keeping something safe. It's used in Mark 6:20 of how Herod kept John the Baptist safe before he had him killed. Same words used in Matthew 9:17 to speak of how wine was preserved in the first century in wineskins. It's a word that literally meant to keep close. You keep your child close to you, right? When you're in a public space, and by keeping your child close to you, you are attempting to keep that child safe. And here this language is used of Mary keeping the truth of Christmas close to her side, guarding it and keeping it in her heart. So here, the language speaks of her preserving the truth of Christmas in her memory. And this is what we all need to learn to do, is to keep the message of Christmas in our memory, to keep it close by our side. Sunday through Saturday, 24/7, all seasons of life, always remembering the story of Christmas, that God is love. And even though we are broken, imperfect people who have all sinned and fallen short of God's holy standard of perfection, God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to live, die, and be raised for our sins. And in him we have forgiveness. In him we have freedom. In him we have been made new. In him we have hope of a new heaven and a new earth where there will be no more sin. A new heaven, a new earth, wherein Jesus will rule righteously forever. In Jesus and in the Christmas message, we have hope that although this world is broken and messed up, one day Jesus is making all things new. Interestingly, Daniel 7:28, the Greek version of the Hebrew Bible, used this same word, treasuring up, to speak of Daniel thinking upon and keeping safe the visions he had received about the coming Messiah. So Mary treasured all these things in her heart, but there's a second verb here. It says that she was also meditating on these things. She was meditating on these things. Now the language here in the New Testament is a word that means literally to throw together. You know what it's like to throw some things together, right? Maybe you have visitors coming for Christmas, and you throw some things together and some ingredients to make something to eat. throwing together here, the words are used to speak of one throwing one's mind upon truth. The language here means that Mary considered, pondered, or seriously thought about all she had seen and all she had heard. The word here is meditating in the Christian Standard Bible that I'm reading from. I believe the English Standard Version had this idea of pondering. It's this act of throwing your mind on something. Now, I don't know about you, but I was raised thinking that the act of meditation wasn't necessarily a good thing. When I was growing up, they came out with this new cartoon called the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and they've had a revival in recent years. But I can remember watching the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and my grandmother had heard about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and she had heard that there was a sensei who taught the turtles how to meditate. And Patrick and Todd are two grandsons. We weren't supposed to get into meditating with the sensei. One day we're watching the cartoon, and out of all times that grandma could walk in the room, I mean, she couldn't have walked in when Michelangelo was eating pizza or something. She had to walk in while sensei had them all in a circle, sitting Indian style, emptying their minds, chanting and meditating. That's it. Turn it off. So sometimes we think of meditation in that sense. When the Bible speaks of meditation, it's not this idea of emptying your mind. Instead, it's this idea of filling your mind and filling your mind with biblical truth. One has said about meditation, a healthy growing relationship to the Word of God is central to a person's blessed condition. A godly person does not just snack occasionally on God's truth. Rather, the word is his heart's delight and hourly consideration. This is meditation. What does it mean to meditate? It means to think personally, practically, seriously, and earnestly on the truth of God's word. And this is what Mary did. And Luke, when he wrote and gave the Christmas story, he gave this description of Mary. Why? He wanted to encourage believers. Do like Mary. Think upon these things. Treasure these things in your heart. Throw your mind upon them regularly. One has said concerning this type of activity, the blessings that flow from a mind fixed on God's truth are greater, higher, and more valuable than anything that this world could possibly offer. Through meditation, a feeble person is turned into one who is confident in God's grace. Meditation awakens the lethargic, energizes the weary, and encourages the depressed. We see in Mary a key to spiritual strength and spiritual security in our lives. Through these two acts, treasuring up God's truth and meditating on God's truth, we can make the Christmas story make a difference in our lives. The Lord calls us all to this, regularly thinking on the truth of the Lord, the truth of the Christmas story. So I encourage you and challenge you tonight as we gather on Christmas Eve to remember our Savior's birth. Make the Christmas story make a difference in your life. And do so by cultivating the habit of regularly treasuring the Christmas story and meditating upon the Christmas story. A book recommendation I give you tonight, maybe some of you are going to get Amazon gift cards for Christmas. This is a great book, Spiritual Depression. It's Causes and Cures by D. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Even if you're not experiencing depression, just such a helpful book. But within this book, he encourages what he calls the art of preaching to yourself. And he preached this series of messages to his congregation in London in the middle of the 20th century and spent an entire chapter talking about the need for believers to preach to themselves, to think on God's truth, and to remind themselves of God's truth. And Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, "The main art in the matter of spiritual living is to know how to handle yourself. You have to take yourself in hand. You have to address yourself, preach to yourself, and question yourself. You must say to your soul at times, "Why art thou cast down? What business have you to be disquieted?" You must turn on yourself, upbraid yourself, condemn yourself, exhort yourself, and say to yourself at times, "Hope thou in God," instead of muttering in this depressed, unhappy way. And then you must go on to remind yourself of God, who God is and what God is and what God has done and what God has pledged himself to do. Then having done that, and of this great note, defy yourself and defy other people and defy the devil and the whole world and say with this man, the psalmist, "I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, who is also the health of my countenance and my God." May we learn to do like D. Martin Lloyd-Jones. May we learn to do like Mary. May we learn to do like Daniel, to regularly remind ourselves of God's truth and the Christmas message, the Christmas story. When you have sickness, when you have struggles, when you're overwhelmed with your own shortcomings, when you're facing slander from others, preach the Christmas story, the gospel to yourself. When you face life's disappointments, when you face life's discouragements, when you're dejected and depressed, preach the truth of Christmas to yourself. Remind yourself who God is, who Jesus is, and all that God has done for you. When you have pain, problems, pressures, and difficult people in life, reflect on the realities of Christ. And isn't this what Paul encouraged us to do in Philippians 4:8? When he said, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you."
For more information, visit us online at tabernaclebaptist.org. Thanks for listening.